All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Triple Tower. Triple Play Thursday. Get your Triple Play requests in. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about bad habits and weird habits and another round of pop-up video. All coming up right here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. That music that you just heard was from our guest, who is live in studio with me, singer-songwriter Steve Dawson. He has recently began a September residency at the Hideout on Wabansia. And it happens every Monday. Begins at 7. It's only $10 to get in. You can check out stevedawsonmusic.com for more information. And we have a link on our Facebook page as well. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Now, you've done the late night show here many times with Steve and Johnny.
Yeah.
That's, how far back do you guys go?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It must have been maybe even to the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, well, you know, I'm just filling in until they come back. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. The last time you were here, I think, was for the Van Morrison.
That's exactly right.
The Great Moments in Vinyl.
Right.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lindsay put together an amazing band for that with strings and horns, and
yeah,
it was phenomenal.
I heard, you guys recorded one of the songs off of Astral Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the single off of Astral Weeks. Why am I blanking on the name of
the... Oh, The Way Young Lovers.
No, not that one. Not that one. Why am I blanking on it? And it's my favorite. It's my favorite Van Morrison song.
Okay.
And I'm an idiot. So let's talk first of all a little bit about your background. When did you get into music? A young age, right?
Oh yeah, I took guitar in seventh grade as an elective. And I had this great teacher named Miss Terry, who was the world's biggest John Denver fan. And she taught us like all the John Denver songs and with great passion. And it just, you know, it made me really want to just play music and just keep figuring out what it was all about.
Yeah. Yeah. So Miss Terry is the one that got, by the way, the song that just came to me, it's Sweet Thing.
Oh yeah,
which is just the best. It's my favorite Van Morrison song of all time.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
And you guys, there was a YouTube of it.
Okay.
Somebody took a YouTube of
right.
you guys playing it. Magnificent.
Oh, thanks.
It sounded great.
Thanks.
So, Miss Terry, after Miss Terry, what happened then?
I had some terrible high school rock bands and wrote a lot of terrible songs.
Are you originally from here?
That was in Idaho.
Right.
I was born in San Diego, California, and we moved to Idaho right when I was in seventh grade. That was my first time in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to play guitar. And there was, honestly, we lived out on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, and there was not a lot to do. So playing guitar, it became sort of my best friend.
Did you start writing music as well and songs and stuff?
Pretty quickly I started making up songs, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now, what about your family? Musicians in your family too?
No, my dad's a huge music lover, and there was always like music around the house. And different, he loves jazz and singer songwriters and all kinds of like
right.
stuff. So he has a big palette of taste, and he had a great record collection. So
to that.
Yeah, but no other musicians. Although I think I have a distant great uncle that was a composer, but I never knew him
right.
or anything like
that. You
have
brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. She's a school teacher
school
in California.
Teacher. In California. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. What brought you here, Chicago?
Do you know Nicholas Baron?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So he was a friend of mine. He is a friend of mine.
I think anybody who was in the Chicago music scene or knew the Chicago
yeah.
music scene in the 80s or 90s
right.
knows him.
Right.
In the 90s, yeah, as well. Yeah.
So he and I actually were roommates together in Boston. We both went to the Berklee School of Music. It's complicated, but suffice to say, we were friends in Boston, but his dad was living here. So he moved to Chicago, and he was like, Steve, you got to come to Chicago. It's the best place for music in the world.
Yeah.
And I did.
I remember I used to bartend at a place. Well, it's called AJ Hudson's now. It's on Ashland and Grace, the corner of Ashland and Grace, AJ Hudson's. It used to be Ginger's Ale House.
Okay.
And Nicholas played there a bunch of times.
Okay.
He was like, you know, it was like every month he would come in and play.
Okay.
But he played everywhere. He was all
yeah.
over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was great. So when did you start gigging and stuff here in the city?
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I actually, I teamed up with a fiddle player named Tom Murray and Diane Christensen, who
mm-hmm.
pretty quickly became my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So as a singing partner with a violin, we started calling ourselves Stump the Host. And that was in 1988. I moved here in 87, and then in 88, we were playing out as Stump the Host.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a bass player, and we got a drummer, an electric guitar player, and graduated from playing, you know, little corner bars into playing the rock clubs in town and stuff
right.
like that.
When did Dolly Varden happen?
Somewhere between like 94, 95. There was like Stump the Host ended and sort of turned into Dolly Varden, like, because Diane and I were the constants in both those bands.
Correct.
Right? So we knew we wanted to keep singing together. And Stump the Host kind of just naturally ended. So we auditioned different players, and it kind of like morphed in and out of different things and coalesced in 95. So mm-hmm. we usually say 95 is the birth of Dolly Varden.
Okay. So like 22 years.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And you guys brought in your latest CD. Is this your latest?
That is the latest, and it's a few years old now.
Yeah.
And we're working on new stuff right now.
So. I mentioned to you when you handed this to me before we were live here, how much I enjoyed the album cover and the artwork, and that your wife did it.
Yeah, Diane did the cover. She's done all but one of the covers she's done.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how often do you play out as Dolly Varden? You guys...
Not that often now. Although the first show of this Hideout residency was Dolly Varden playing an album we made 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We just did that this past Monday night.
How'd that go?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was super great.
Hideout, how'd that happen? How did the residency happen?
Well, you know, Robbie Foulkes had been doing Mondays for like 7 years. And I was fortunate enough to be like one of the people he called to be his sort of co-conspirator or partner, and for a few times a year, you know. So yeah. I did a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And it was super fun. And when he ended it, I talked to Tim at the Hideout about, he's like, well, what's going to happen on Mondays? And he's like, well, we don't really know. Maybe it's going to be a continuation of like the Friends of Robbie Foulkes or something like that. So I was like, well, I would like to do that.
Because you are a friend of Robbie Foulkes.
Yeah. So, you know, we lined up September. It seemed like a good time to do it. And yeah.
That's great. That's great. And when you first started playing here, what were some of your favorite gigs when you first started playing out in Chicago?
In Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? We played at the Elbow Room a lot when it was just the basement. It was the full basement. It was the only place that they had music. It was a cool gig then.
Yeah.
I
used to love that place. I haven't been there in a long, long time, but
it's quite a bit different now.
Yeah, I mean, it's when I was there in the '90s when they you would just be in the basement,
right?
And they had poles everywhere,
exactly.
And you had to move around to see the stage.
We had a lot of really fun gigs there. Shubas, we've always loved, and had a lot of great experiences there.
Yeah, you played Lincoln Hall yet?
I've not played at Lincoln Hall yet.
Have you been there?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the acoustics, beautiful. I mean, they did a beautiful job.
They
with
sure
that
did.
Place. I mean, just beautiful. So what are some of your inspirations when you're writing?
Oh, gosh. So many, but the ones I always go back to are like Neil Young and Van Morrison and Bob Dylan. I just saw Jackson Browne and reminded me how much I love his songwriting.
Yeah.
And Joni Mitchell. I was just listening to Blue the other day and just saying, geez.
Yeah, I mean, that's a timeless record.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah. So you collaborate with your wife as well. Yeah.
I mean, I write, basically the songs when I write them are basically finished. And then we figure out our vocal parts or figure out the harmonies and stuff.
Right.
Over the years, we have collaborated, you know, face to face. Or I'll finish off a song of hers or she'll finish off a song of mine. But most of the time, when I'm writing by myself.
Do you try to make time every day to write?
Ooh, I wish.
Yeah. I know you teach.
I do.
You teach guitar and...
I teach guitar and songwriting.
And songwriting.
Up at the Old Town School.
At the Old Town School of Folk. Yes.
I do. Which is awesome. But I kind of have to carve out time for songwriting.
Yeah.
And but if an idea really... is sort of coming on strong, I'll make time for it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's always seems to be a little bit of time when I can figure out if I've got a good idea going.
When you do write a song, does the melody come first and then you,
ooh.
Or does it mix it up?
It mixes it up a lot. Yes. Most of the time for me, it's some guitar thing, get a guitar part. And then that turns into, chords and melody, and then hopefully pretty soon words.
Right.
It's the best is when you get a phrase in advance, because that kind of dictates the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break,
right,
Steve. We got the news coming up. We'll break, and we're going to come back. We'll talk more with Steve Dawson, and we'll hear some live music as well. Steve is doing a residency every Monday night at the Hideout, which is at 1354 West Wabansie in Chicago. It starts at 7 o'clock. It's only $10 to get in, and we'll talk more with Steve and hear some live music coming up right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Thursday, Triple Play Thursday, 1 hour, 3 songs. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. What you just heard was some music from my guest, Steve Dawson, singer-songwriter. He currently has a residency at the Hideout on Wabansie in Chicago every Monday night. It starts at 7. It's only $10 to get in. We have a link on our Facebook page for all the information, and we welcome Steve back. Welcome back, Steve.
Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about what we just heard. This is from an album called Funeral Bonsai Wedding.
It is.
That is a pretty great title.
So I dreamt about this project for a long time because I've known Jason Adashevitz, the vibraphone player, for a long time, and I've been a fan and a friend of his, and he's like sort of a nutty genius on the vibraphone. And there's a bass player named Jason Rebke, who I'm friends with, who's super brilliant. And I had been doing just Dolly Varden for so many years, and I wanted to try this other project with these other musicians.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the thing they do the most is just free jazz, you know, the stuff that just is totally, completely improvised. It's not even really tunes a lot of the time. It's just
right.
Like...
Right,
you know?
Right.
Which... I enjoy, but it's, you know, not everybody enjoys it, but I enjoy it quite a bit. But they're very open-minded musicians and people, and so, you know, I got them to sort of like conform to playing these kind of normal, quote-unquote, normal songs. And it was
a little more accessible.
Yeah. So it was really fun to get them, you know, to play inside these kind of pop, folk pop songs, and... yeah, we made a record together a few years ago, and it came out really great. And,
yeah, that's great. That's very, very cool. So you are going to play a song here in a minute, but mm-hmm. before that, as soon as you pulled your guitar out, I was like, "Well, look at that thing! Tell everybody the story behind that." Obviously, you can't see it, but it's
sure.
been. It looks like the guitar looks like it's been around the block.
It really has.
Yeah.
So this is an old Yamaha guitar that was in the office at the Old Town School of Folk Music when I started working there, and I've been working there for over 12 years now. And so I think this guitar goes back to the 70s.
Wow.
And it was a guitar that people...
So a guitar that was actually in the office when they were on Wells.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's and it was one, you know, students could check it out, or teachers, if they didn't have an instrument, could use it for a class. So it's got, like, you know, it's been played by everybody. And then they, for some reason, they decided they were going to get all new guitars for the office, so they got rid of this one, and it was for sale at the garage sale at the school. They have a garage sale once a year, and I bought it for $40. And all the other teachers now, when they see me with it, they're like, "You got that guitar?" So everybody loved this thing, you know?
And somebody write Old Town School of Folk? Yeah, it says
it's
Old Town.
It's carved into the
front of the guitar. That's beautiful guitar.
It is.
It's great.
I really like it.
$40, man.
I
that's
know,
a
right?
steal.
Yeah.
That's great. And how long have you had it now?
I've had it a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Very cool. I bet it gets a lot, like when you pull that thing out, I bet people go, "What is that saying? What is that?"
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But I bet it sounds fantastic. So what are we going to hear? Let's hear your first song. What are we going to hear?
I'm going to play a song called Long Overdue.
Okay. All right, everybody. Steve Dawson.
All right. Break the skin, medicine. Fill this fever dream with hope. Build the blood, make it good.
give a reason clear to cope. It is long overdue. It is long overdue. Pack your books, meet the train. You are gonna have to run. There's a shadow on your face. Your eyelids crave the sun. It is long overdue. It is long overdue. Between breaths, you will forget this is how you're supposed to live. Wait a minute, don't you panic. There is time now to forgive. It is long overdue. It is long overdue. It is long overdue. It is long overdue.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Really, really nice, man. How old is that song?
That song is maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the inspiration for that one?
But the tune just came into my head. You know, I was walking down the street. I was actually in Austin, Texas. I was down there for South by Southwest walking around, and that song just popped into my head. So I don't really know. A lot of times I don't really know exactly what the song is about, quote unquote. It's just sort of what it feels like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your residency is underway Monday nights at the Hideout.
Right.
And the next one is on the 11th.
That's right.
On September 11th. And this is kind of a special one.
It is.
Because now, I didn't know this until tonight that you wrote a book with my friend Mark Caro.
It's all true.
And a former a colleague of ours here at the Trib. And still a good friend of the show and a great guy.
Yep.
You wrote a book called Take It to the Bridge, Unlocking the Great Songs Inside You.
Yes.
Tell me about how this came.
All right. So I've been teaching songwriting classes at the Old Town School for about 10 years. And I've been friends with Mark since the early 90s. He was a fan of Stump the Host, and he's kept up. We've kept our friendship up, and he used to write the local music column for the Tribune.
Yeah.
So he's also a songwriter. I don't know if he kind of keeps that under
he
wraps.
He does keep that under wraps, because when I saw his name here, I was like, Mark writes songs?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And he's actually pretty darn talented at it.
Yeah.
And so he and I would talk about songwriting a lot, and then he actually took one of my classes, and some of the people who've taken the classes, I give a weekly songwriting assignment, like a prompt of some sort. And usually they're not always word prompts. Sometimes they're about the form of a song or an overarching idea or a chord progression. But people have said you should put these assignments into a book form because they're really unique and interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah. You know, that seems silly.
Yeah.
And then I said the idea to Mark. He's like, well, you know, we could do that because he has experience. He's published the Foie Gras Wars book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he knows that world, and he's actually can write, complete sentences.
Yes, he can. Very well, in fact. Yes.
He's a very good writer. So I was like, oh, you know how to do this. So he came up with the idea of how to do it, which was basically this long back and forth discussion about all these different ideas of, or different, like, it's about the creative process, about song form, and, you know, how much theory knowledge do you need to know, which is pretty much none, you know. So it's a long discussion, and in the first part, and then the second part is all these assignments. There's a bunch of different assignments on how to.
That is really cool, man. Yeah. That's really cool. And by the way, it's a beautiful looking book too. And that glossy, the images are really nice. They did a great job with it. The publishers
they sure did.
I mean, it's called Take It to the Bridge. Now, you guys are going to, it's sort of a special residency thing coming up on Monday. Tell everyone, Mark's going to be there, correct?
Mark's going to be there, and he'll be hosting. And it's basically, I gathered as many of my favorite singers in the Chicago area that were
many of whom have been on this show.
Yeah.
I would like to say.
And I tried to get Robbie, and the reason we picked this date because Robbie Foulkes thought he might be in town, but he's actually not going to be in town. So, but we got Kelly Hogan, we got Nora O'Connor, Rachel Drew.
Rachel Drew was just on the show.
Yeah.
She's been on many times.
She's awesome.
She's great, yeah.
Alton Smith, who I think has been on here.
Yeah.
And
I called him Alton Brown by mistake during the interview. Because Alton Brown is a do you know who Alton Brown is?
I don't.
Alton Brown is a Food Network star. he hosts a show called Good Eats, and he's a very pop. I watch the Food Network a lot, and I made the mistake when I was reintroducing everybody in the room.
Yeah.
I was like, and Alton Brown is here, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, and he's like, I get it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Call him Alton Brown Monday. See what happens. So you got all these talented people.
Yeah.
Are you gonna have books there and everything?
Oh, the books will be there for sure, and everyone is assigned to pick two songs that they like that have a great bridge, since to tie in with the book title.
Yeah,
right.
That's a really neat thing,
right? Because you don't think about that
no,
often.
No,
but
no, boy, I'm thinking about
right?
it. I'm thinking about songs that have great bridges.
Yeah.
So, well, let's think about that during the break.
All right.
We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk more with Steve Dawson, and you can see the special "Take It to the Bridge" tacular.
Right.
As you guys are calling it. Mark Caro is going to be the host. Incredible talented musicians are going to be there. It's only $10, and it's Monday night at the Hideout as part of your residency. All right, let's take a break, and we'll hear another song from Steve and talk more right after this on 720 WGN.
Well, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California. Yeah, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California. For the warmth of the sun and the smell of the ocean.
Welcome back, everybody. Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. We're talking about bad habits and weird habits. A little pop-up video a little bit later on. That music that you hear right there is from Dolly Varden, which is a band that Steve Dawson is, well, you're in it. It's still around.
It's true.
It gets revived,
yes.
You and your lovely wife.
Yeah.
Old Town School of Folk, such a great place.
Yeah.
And I've had so many incredible musicians who are associated with Old Town School of Folk. Really amazing. Is it just fantastic to work there?
It is fantastic to work there.
Yeah.
It's an incredible community of people, both the teachers and the students and the building, the concert hall. I mean, it just oozes good vibes.
You know, I'm really excited because we're doing a live podcast from there.
Oh, really?
From on October 7th, Saturday, October 7th, they're doing a podcast festival, and we're honored enough we're going to do a podcast. We're going to do one of we have a segment here called Would Esmeralda Buy That? And we describe these weird items that you can see on TV or online, and then we ask our traffic woman if she would buy it. And then we vote on whether or not she would.
Okay.
So we're going to do that live. And I was just so, you know, they asked me, and they were like, hey, we're doing this podcast festival. Would you like to do it? And then, you know, I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. And then I found out it was at Old Town School, and I was like, are you kidding me? It's amazing.
Like in the concert hall?
It's in the dance. Dance recital?
Zold Hall.
Yeah, that's it. That's where it is.
Yeah,
and I've never been in there.
Oh, it's great.
I've been in the concert hall many times.
Sure.
But yeah, so it's Saturday, October 7th. It's going to be a good time. It starts at 7 o'clock. So I'm just excited to be a part of it. You know what I mean? And to actually perform my stuff at Old Town School.
Sweet.
It just seems great.
Yeah.
So the studio that you have, you have your own studio. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that sort of started out really organically, where I would just, you know, was recording my own stuff, and I was learning how to use Pro Tools on a computer, and I don't even know how I started recording other people. I really don't. I started thinking. I think somebody said, "Oh, would you ever record me or something like that?" I was like, "Well, I guess so."
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah.
Because it's always a learning experience. You know, it's like always like. Yeah, there's always so much to learn, mm-hmm. and you room to improve. So, sort of like using other people as guinea pigs, that started that way, and then I just kept upgrading my gear, and then I started charging people, and word of mouth happened, and I've done. Gosh, I've probably produced like 35 or 40 records
wow.
out there now.
Do you enjoy that? Do you like
I
recording
do.
People?
I love it. I'm fascinated with the whole process,
yeah.
and. Mixing sounds and all the EQing and trying to get things balanced. It's just fascinating to me. So, yeah.
Do you have a preference to playing out live or recording?
Oh,
I know that's a tough question.
I love both.
Yeah.
They're so different.
Right.
So different.
Right.
Yeah, I love both.
Well, you can see Steve every Monday night throughout September. Special one on this Monday, September 11th, the Take It to the Bridge Bridgetacular.
Right.
With a bunch of great musicians. Mark Caro is going to be the host, and it's about the book that you can get called Take It to the Bridge. And and we want to get both you and Mark in here to talk about
yes,
the book.
That'd be
for
great.
Sure. But we want to hear another song.
Okay.
And what are we going to hear now?
I'm going to play a song that I played on the Steve and Johnny show however many years ago.
Oh, great. I hope Steve and Johnny are listening.
So, if they are, hello. Or if there's anybody still around that listens. This is a song called Waiting that I don't know that this is not the one that was on their CD, I don't think.
Hmm.
All right. Well, here I am once again. Pace in the room, end to end. I will always be waiting in the bed by the phone. In a crowd, all alone, I will always be waiting. Well, do you remember the promise you gave? Well, I know I am a fool, but I don't know what else to do. I will always be waiting. I will always be waiting.
It's terrific, man.
Thank you.
That's really, really great.
Thanks.
Yeah, I can listen to you play all night, man. Really, really cool stuff.
Thanks.
You can see Steve Dawson every Monday in September at the Hideout 1354. Wabansia, and you have actually a special show on the 25th as well.
That's right.
With the funeral bonsai wedding.
Right.
With so strings, right?
The jazz guys and a string quartet, yeah, all playing together. So it's going to be extremely rich.
That's great, yeah. Man. And the Hideout is a great room, too.
I love it.
Yeah, the place is great. So everybody check it out. It's every Monday. It begins at 7. The cost is only $10. You can check out stevedawsonmusic.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. I probably asked you this the last time you were here, but I'm going to re-ask you. I always ask musicians when they come in two questions. What was the first album you ever bought?
So what I said last time and what I always think of is I borrowed money from my mom at the supermarket to buy Queen, A Night at the Opera, because I loved Bohemian Rhapsody so much. Like, I think that's I don't know if that's the first song that I, like, completely fell in love with.
Yeah.
But it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And we were checking out at the grocery store, and they used to have them at the end caps at the grocery store, and I was like, I need that.
It's a great one. Now, before you answer the last one, how mind-blowing is it now for you recording music to listen to that? Especially considering the equipment they had back in those days.
Well, and just Freddie Mercury.
Oh, please.
I mean, what?
Yeah, I know.
How did that even happen?
I know. It was his birthday the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because
Roy Ward Baker was just one of the greatest
producers
of all time.
Yeah.
And just the stuff that they did on those records.
Outrageous.
Astounding. Okay, first concert.
So it was a double bill in San Diego of Santana and Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good double bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
So it was probably like 73, something like that.
Okay, cool.
Would be my guess.
All right. Steve, it's so much fun to have you on, man.
Oh,
we get your wife down here, too,
at
some point, play some music. And then next time we get you in here, we'll have Mark on with you, Mark
Carroll.
The book, by the way, is called Take It to the Bridge. You can get it anywhere. We can get it online as well.
You can get it at bookstores locally.
Yeah.
It's in a bunch of them. And you can get it at Amazon. You can get it directly from the publisher.
And you can also get it Monday night at the Hideaway. It was great to have you then, Steve.
Thanks so much.
It's great stuff, man. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.